بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us in the Quran that people can have two different types of life. One is shared by all human beings. As long as they are living, they all have this life, and this is physical life. Whether a person is a believer or not believer, he or she has this life, and this is why everyone can walk, can speak, can eat, can grow, and this is shared. As long as people have this kind of life, they can communicate to each other. If someone speaks to someone else, if they know the language, it's the same language, they understand each other. And if they write a letter, the other person can read and understand. This is something very simple. Most of the people maybe think that this is the only life that we have. But the Quran tells us that there is another life, which is not necessarily given to everyone. And that is the life of the spirit, the life of the heart. There are people who are living in the biological sense. So if you do medical testing, maybe everything is okay. But these people do not have the qualities of the second life. For example, there are people who listen to you, listen to the verses of the Quran, listen to the Prophet, but they don't understand anything. It's as if you are speaking to a dead person. When you speak to a dead person, the dead person doesn't understand anything, doesn't react. And there are people who are like dead people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells the Prophet, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. You are not able to make someone who is buried, who is in a grave, to listen to you. What does it mean? Does it mean that the Prophet had the hope that the people who are buried would become Muslim and become guided? No. This refers to kuffar, whose hearts were sealed, and they are like people who are buried. But their grave is not fixed. It's a sort of, you know, they carry their grave with themselves. They are buried inside themselves. So there is no hope that these people may be guided. They see the same thing that believers see, but they don't understand anything from this. They don't see hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the event. Unfortunately, most of people, even believers, They can only see hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there is something very, very extraordinary. For example, you know, if someone has a cancer and no doctor is able to treat and that person is cured, we say it was the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we have our normal life, and for example in the morning we can get up from our bed and start our day, we don't say this is an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the level of the second type of life is very low. We can only be attentive to those acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are very, very special. But alhamdulillah, at least in those things we can see hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone is totally dead, so even if miracles happen, they don't believe. There were people in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam who themselves witnessed miracles of the Prophet. And maybe they better than us understood that the Quran cannot be word of a human being. You may have heard the story of some of the leaders of Quraysh who were asking people not to listen to the Quran because they knew how powerful the Quran was. But every night when everywhere was dark, they were going to the next to the house of the Prophet and sitting outside the house and listening to the recitation of the Quran by the Prophet. And they were enjoying. So once three of them met each other after it was becoming, you know, bright and, you know, the day was starting. And they said, what people would tell us if they realize that we ask them not to listen to the to Muhammad, but we ourselves come here and whole night we listen to him. So they said, please promise each other that we don't come again. And the next night everyone thought that, okay, others are not coming, so why I shouldn't go and again listen to him. So again they saw each other and then they promised. And this happened for the third time, and then they made, you know, vows that we never come again. So these people were much more able than us to understand the eloquence of the Quran and that this is not the word of a human being. And this is why they were saying that this is a magic or someone is coming from maybe another planet or somewhere, you know, and teaching him. Because they knew that this is not the word of a human being. But still, they were not able to understand that this is message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their guidance. They were able to understand the literal meanings of the words better than us, but they could not get the message. They could not understand what is it for. Why? Because they were dead. As the Quran says, summun bukmun umyun. They were not able to see, able to listen, and able to speak. Not able to speak the truth. Not able to listen to the truth, and not able to see the truth. So, this is very important, and we should know that the only way to maintain this spiritual life. Why I say maintain? Because every child who is born is given the potentiality for this second life as well. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child, whether it's born in east or west or north or south, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him or her the potentiality to understand and to enjoy this second life. But its role of parents or the environment and the person more than anyone else to choose whether to maintain this or not, and second, whether to improve and expand and strengthen this or not. So we need to maintain and strengthen this life, the second life. Otherwise, we will be just walking dead people. The people who are dead, just they look, you know, that they are living, and there would be no real taste and sweetness in our life. A very superficial kind of enjoyment may be there. For example, you know, I am happy because I get good salary, or you know, maybe I have good house or good car. But in the end, when we think, you know, carefully, we see that this is not something that can satisfy us. Especially those who have this. Those who don't have this always, you know, work hard to achieve these things. But those who already have these things, then they say, okay, what else? And this is why you see that the people who commit suicide in more developed countries are much more than the people who commit suicide in the poor countries. Because the people who are poor, they always think, okay, if I become rich, then everything will be sorted out. But those who are rich, they say, so why should I exist? Why should I continue my life? So we need to be very much careful about this second life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. All those who believe, listen and accept the invitation and the call of Allah and His apostle, His messenger, when He calls you, or when they, because here means the prophet, but the prophet acts according to the command of Allah. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ means when the prophet calls you to what revives you, what gives you life. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. When the prophet calls you to something that gives you life, revives you, it means that before accepting this call, we lack this life. Okay? This is the life that we can achieve by listening to the Prophet. Recently, I heard a story from a lady who lived in the United States, and she was speaking on TV a few weeks back, and she was, alhamdulillah, very spiritual, and she had very special, you know, way of becoming religious, because she was not religious, although maybe she had some religious background, but she was not religious. And she said that I had very big and luxurious house on a hill, and every day I used to go for some exercise. So I used to take my Walkman. You say Walkman? To listen, you know, to play. And I used to take a cassette, some music, something, so that when I go for walking and running, I also listen to music. But she said that day, I don't know why, by mistake, I took another cassette, which was some speech by someone, and
She said, I saw that the cassette is mistake, but I didn't pay attention. And when I went down from the hill and I wanted to start, I realized that the cassette is mistake. And I didn't, you know, feel, you know, happy to go again to home and change the cassette. So I said, okay, there is no other, you know, choice, so I play this. And she said, that speech was not understandable because it was in Arabic and I didn't know. But there was one phrase in that speech which I understood in a special way. And she said, that totally changed me. And it was as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly talking to me. And that was this ayah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. She said, I didn't know Arabic, but I don't know how I understood this ayah. And I realized that God is telling me that you are dead. Because Allah says, you should listen to something that makes you living. So she said, I felt inside my heart that I am to change my life. And I am dead, I have to gain life. And then she changed her life. Many important things, and she was very much, alhamdulillah, spiritually very much alert. And for example, she also said that then, you know, she moved to Iran, and because she was married to some Iranian, and she said, I didn't want to go to Iran because my relatives were in the States. But then finally she moved, and she said that I wanted to know more about Imam Hussein, and I asked people about good books about Imam Hussein, and I was told that one of the best books is the book Al-Khasa'is about Imam Hussein. And she said, I had this book for many years, but I never could understand this book. And said, finally, few months before Muharram, I decided to read this book so that by the time Muharram comes, I know who is Hussein. And said, it was very strange that this time I was understanding everything. And she said, I so much absorbed the idea of the book that in the month of Ramadan, the only desire that I had was to be given the chance to go to Karbala to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And she said that we went in a house to prepare iftari, and you know, they were decorating Sholazad. I don't know if you are familiar with Sholazad. So they put some sort of special, you know, a spice. And she said, I prayed and I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to go and visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But that was not accepted by my husband, because he said that there is no safety, and if you go with, you know, American passport, you know, and you know, there is no safety, and I cannot accept. So she said, you know, I was praying, and you know, but I didn't, and also I didn't want to, you know, not listen to my husband. But a lady who was teaching her phoned her and said that we have in the bus that we are going, we have one space left, and if you want, you know, you can come. So she said, I told my husband that Allah is inviting me, Imam Hussein is inviting me, and just you say, you know, not to go. And finally he accepted, and she went there, and then many good things, you know, happened to her. So many people then started to duplicate this interview, and it was well, you know, spreading all over Iran. The main thing that happened to this lady was that she carefully listened to these words of the Quran. Of course, she didn't know the language, but somehow she understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling her that you must change your life. This is not life. This is not a real life. You must change your style of living. And that only can happen when you establish good relation with the creator of the life, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, what we need to do, especially you as people who are still alhamdulillah in the beginning of your mature life, is not to lose any opportunity to strengthen your awareness and commitment to this life. I would like to mention here a story of a young person that may have many similar, you know, examples in everywhere, and how this young person was making mistake, but finally maybe he got the lesson. And this can be true about anyone. I mentioned the story, then I ask you, you know, to reflect on the story. This is mentioned by Rumi, and he says that there was a young person who had the habit of eating soil or dried clay. There are some people who have this habit. Sometimes they eat soil or plaster, especially sometimes women, when they are pregnant, they may have this. So this person had this habit. It looks very funny for us, you know, when there is sweet and, you know, chocolate or fruit, why someone should eat soil? But this is the same experience of the prophet and good people. When they look at us and say, these people, you know, enjoy very, you know, trivial things, and they forget that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them with. We had a teacher who was very well-known teacher of akhlaq, Ayatollah Ahmadinejad, and he used to say that sometimes I look at my grandchildren and I see that sometimes they fight on very simple things. You know, they fight just, for example, if one piece of a crisp is taken by one child, the other child, you know, starts fighting. And if you give him a pack of crisps, then no, I want my own crisp. If sometimes a child is not in good mood and you clean his nose, he starts crying. Why did you clean my nose? If he's not in good mood. So he said that, then I tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you look at us, our life is like this. You see that men and women, you know, sometimes, or parents and children or friends, they have fighting, but for very, very trivial things, useless things. So this man unfortunately had this habit. He was enjoying eating soil. So once he went to a shop to buy cubic sugar or qand, solid sugar. And you may have seen in Iran or other some other parts of it, you know, in Iran we have solid sugar 2-3 kilograms as a piece, like pyramid. Have you seen this? We say chalagan. So it's big, you know, pieces of solid sugar. So he went to the shopkeeper and said that I want, suppose, 2 kilograms of qand. The shopkeeper said, we have this, but the only problem is that the scale that I have, I use soil, dried, you know, clay as my weight stones. I don't have the proper ones. I have very accurate amounts of dried clay. I use them as a stone weight. He said, no problem. I want 2 kilograms. It's not important with which, you know, thing you weigh. So this man put 2 kilograms of dried clay on one side of the scale and said, I go to the rear side of the shop to bring for you this. But I need to make them into small pieces and bring for you. The shopkeeper was aware that this young man has this habit of eating dried clay. So he was very careful what this young man is doing. So this young man was alone because there was no other customer, and that man went to the rear side of the shop, but carefully listening, you know, what is happening. So when he looked at this dried clay, he was tempted. That looked very, you know, nice, and said, there is no one looking at me and blame me. So said, let me take a little bit. But you know, the problem with this haram things is that when you taste, it becomes more difficult to resist. It's better to stand, you know, far. Never say, let me try it and then I resist. You can never try and then resist. Much more difficult. Like, you know, someone who says, okay, I am a good driver. I go to drive towards the edge of a hill and put tires of my front tires of my car on the other side of the edge and I take the car back. Never do that. This is very stupid. But this is the way that unfortunately we may do. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says not to meet someone who is non-mahram, someone who is not, you know, related to you, a foreign man or woman, this is to protect yourself and to safeguard yourself. Don't say, okay, we go just for a coffee and we speak and no problem. Then maybe say, okay, we go to her flat, maybe no problem. The more you go, the more difficult to come back. So it's better to say in the beginning, I'm not going to go for this. Like in month of Ramadan. Why in the month of Ramadan it's much easier not to eat than any other day? In ordinary days, if you don't eat your lunch, you know, maybe 1 hour is late, you feel very terrible. If you don't eat for 2 hours, you become crazy. But in the month of Ramadan, because from the beginning you said, I am not going to eat, so it's very easy. It's much easier. Anyway, this person was tempted and said, okay, let me try a little bit. But when he tried, he became more interested. Said, a little more. A little more. But he was happy that no one is aware. There is no one looking at him and blaming him. And the shopkeeper knew that he is taking. But he said, I should delay more. Because the more he eats, the less sugar I will give him. Because that 2 kilograms was going down to maybe 1.5 kilograms. Okay? Because that was the other side of the scale. So the shopkeeper was delaying, and the young man was thinking that he is very clever, because without knowledge of the shopkeeper, he is eating the soil. So this is our example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us chance, and he says, you need just to be patient so that we give you sugar. We give you what makes your life sweet. Just be patient. But we think we are very clever, and we think that we can have sugar and have clay together without knowledge of anyone. But indeed what we are doing is that we are harming ourselves. We are not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That young man was not harming the shopkeeper. Shopkeeper was not losing, because the right clay has no value. We have in hadith that the whole material life has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, he would not have given this to his enemies. You see, enemies of Allah are very rich, very powerful. If there was any value for this, he would not have given this to his enemies. What is valuable in the sight of Allah are the spiritual gifts. And Allah never gives this to his enemies. You can try this also, you know, whenever you have a request. If you go for ziyarah, or you know, you pray, normally the material requests are given much sooner than the spiritual request. If you need, for example, a car or a house, it will be given much more than earlier than asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the spiritual upliftment. So dried clay has no value for the shopkeeper, but that young person was thinking that he is cheating the shopkeeper by eating from his clay without his knowledge. And this lesson, a story is full of lessons. Inshallah, please reflect on this. You can find many different kinds of analogies. What is a scale, what is a stone weight, what is sugar stand for, what does clay stand for, who is shopkeeper? Many, many things, you know, you can find in this story. So, my very first request is to try to become alert, is to try to become serious. It's very good, you know, if we are humorous, if we play, you know, games, or you know, we make joking or what. It's very good, but never treat your life as a game. Your life is not a game. It's very serious. Never take any risk about your own destiny. This is serious. At least here, you know, we should be serious. And we should not go for just chances. Say, okay, inshallah, it will be all right. No. It's very, very serious matter, especially for you. Whatever you decide today will act as a ground for your future. For example, let me give you a very simple example. There are students, you know, very young people in the school. They don't study. They say, why should I study? What is the benefit of studying? How much I can earn by, for example, becoming a top educated person? So they don't take this as a serious issue. After 10, 15 years, when they see that no one respects them because they don't have proper education, they couldn't even finish high school, or if they have finished, they finish with very low results. And they see that how important it is to be educated, then they regret. But can they now go back to school and start from beginning? No. So some of decisions are irreversible. You can never go and, you know, fix them again. Some of the decisions are reversible. Okay? I, for example, don't go to some place today. Maybe I go tomorrow. But some of the decisions, especially the decisions that you make when you are very young, these are irreversible. So please don't say, I only do those things that I am personally convinced. No, here be more cautious. Please do those things and take advices of the people who have the experience and who have been through all these, and they are also kind to you. They don't want to harm you. If an elder who is experienced, maybe a teacher, maybe parents, maybe alim, whoever, or if the prophet, let's say prophet, is calling you towards something, don't say, I am not personally convinced, or don't say, I future, you know, will do this, because this is irreversible, and these opportunities are never to be replaced and to be given again. So this is very important. We must be very alert. And I would like to mention another story and finish. Unfortunately, many of us are very much aware of problems of other people. Maybe, for example, about our classmates or cousins or neighbors or elders, we are always saying they are doing wrong things, but we forget ourselves. The first thing that we need to observe when we become alert is to first attend to yourself before attending to other problems and problems of others. There were four people who had an appointment with the king right after Zuhr. Okay, after noon, not afternoon, after noon with a space. So because they were very worried, they have appointment with a big person and they didn't want to delay, so they didn't make sure that it's the time of the prayer. Before making sure that the time of the prayer is there, they started the prayer of Zuhr so that they can finish quickly and go and meet the king. And unfortunately, we have everyday appointment with the king of the world and we don't pay attention. So they started their prayer, four of them. In middle of their prayer, they saw that Muazzin is going to go to minaret to start the call for prayer. So they realized that it was early, but they thought maybe Muazzin is today late. So they were not sure. So the first one asked the Muazzin, hasn't the time for the prayer arrived? And he was praying, you know. So the person next to him said, why did you speak? You made your prayer void. The third person said, you too also spoke. You made also your prayer void. And the fourth person said, Alhamdulillah, I didn't speak. Because everyone realized the problem about the person next to him. But he didn't realize his own problem. So this is very true about many people, or maybe about most of people. That if they see that someone is telling lies, they understand that this is bad. If someone tells you lie, you feel very bad. But if you tell lies to the people, you think you are very clever. If people don't respect you, you feel very bad. You feel insulted. But if you don't respect people, you think that you are superior to them and it's very good. That you can treat them, you know, with arrogance. So we must be very much careful about our own behavior and our own conduct. Okay, I finish here. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.